It's Marketplace Tech Report from American Public Media for Tuesday, January 11th, 2011. I'm John Moe. The Justice Department wants information from Twitter for the WikiLeaks account and the accounts of people associated with WikiLeaks. It's part of a larger criminal investigation, but Twitter hasn't gone along with the request just yet. Jim Dempsey is with the Center for Democracy and Technology.
The court order was issued with a gag, that is, prohibiting Twitter from notifying its subscribers that their information was being sought. And then after a period of time, Twitter went ahead and asked the court to lift that gag order and allow Twitter to notify its customers that their data was being sought. In a lot of cases, companies just comply.
Dempsey says this kind of request is not new to other user-heavy sites like Google and Facebook.
Both Google and Facebook, Yahoo as well in the case that I'm familiar with, have pushed back when they thought that the government was overreaching. A lot of that is carried out behind the scenes. The customer never knows. The public never knows. Often the government comes in with an overbroad request, seeking whatever it can get. And if the companies do push back, the government may go away, or it will come back with a stronger order, ultimately up to the warrant, which is the constitutional standard.
The government's authority here comes from the Electronic Communications Privacy Act of 1986. 1986? A lot has happened in technology in 25 years. But Orrin Kerr, a law professor at George Washington University, says it still holds up because part of that law is the Stored Communications Act.
This part of the law that we're talking about was actually added in the 1990s, so it's not quite as far back as the 1980s. But the basic idea is one that I don't think has really gone out of style, which is the idea of requiring a court order by the government when they want to disclose some sort of private records. And the way the statute works is that it says, okay, the government can get some amount of information very easily. Some it has to establish what they call specific and articulable facts. And some information the government needs a full warrant for. And that's the basic idea behind the statute. And so if you think about your internet communications, there's non-content information like the time of date in which you sent an email. And then there's the contents of the communications, the actual emails themselves. And the law is pretty clear on the non-content information, but terribly vague and outdated on the content information, so the privacy protection that applies to the actual emails. In the Twitter situation, the government is seeking this intermediate court order. So that requires the government to show to the judge and for the judge to agree that the government has established what they call specific and articulable facts, showing that the information is relevant and material to a criminal investigation.
So then what exactly are they trying to get? I mean, obviously the tweets themselves are published on the internet. Those aren't hard to get.
Right. The government here is seeking non-content information about identity. They want IP addresses. They want login times. They want anything that they can use to figure out who was behind things, to push the investigation back to figure out who's involved. They're not seeking contents in this particular case, as far as we can tell.
So what does all this mean to you, the average email user, Facebook user, Twitter user?
You have a certain amount of privacy, but you don't have absolute privacy, and the government can obtain a court order to try to figure out who you are as a user of Twitter.
If your AT&T contract has expired and you want an iPhone, guess what? Suddenly you're LeBron James and you have other teams to choose from. Verizon will begin carrying the iPhone, ending the exclusive deal AT&T has had since 2007. And the Virginia Department of Education is set to approve guidelines this week banning teachers and students from being Facebook friends or communicating through text message. It's turning into an interesting debate. Go to marketplacetech.org and read about it. Producer Larissa Anderson is here with a story you may have missed.
About fonts people make fun of, like Comic Sans.
People should make fun of Comic Sans. It's a stupid, ridiculous font.
But a font that could make you smarter. Princeton researchers recently ran an experiment. One group of students was taught history, English, physics, using fonts that are harder to read, like Comic Sans.
Those poor kids.
Another group was taught with easier fonts, Helvetica or Arial.
And those were the kids without headaches.
Well, it turns out having to struggle through a hard font made the first group significantly more able to remember what they learned. Challenges help learning.
What about if you'd rather not learn at all than learn with Comic Sans?
Well, then you have issues.
I can't argue with that. This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.